today, a simple title, Proclaim. You know, Proclaim. And what I want to do, I was just thinking about it, you know, we have the main text, we project it, and you're going to see it online. But it, people, if you could take out your phone and go to your Bible app, you know, or take out your journal or notebook, whatever you do to take notes. Because what I remember in the 90s, you know, when I went to church, everybody bought a Bible. We didn't have anything projected, you know, because we didn't have the technology back then for the church to project it. And so everybody bought a Bible and notebook, you know, and took notes. And when the pastor or the preacher said the verse, and they would all look for it, and we would read it together. We would read it together. Can we do that today? Let's see how that works out. So that during this time of pandemic, weakness, you know, of online is the engagement that we have in worship. That's the weakness. And so let's try to engage together, you know, opening the app or Bible and reading the scripture together. If you could turn, okay, instead of just looking up, Isaiah 52, verse 7. Isaiah 52, verse 7. Okay? Isaiah 52, you know, verse 7. And it says this. Let's try this. Let's read it together. Okay? I believe this is the NIV version. Isaiah 52, verse 7. If you have the King James, just whisper so you don't mess everybody up. Okay? Okay. Isaiah 52, verse 7. It says, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, 'Your God reigns.'" All right, amen. Amen. That felt good. That felt good. You know, Isaiah, this passage, it says, on the mountain, okay? On the mountain. And the way I take that is this. When we are going through tough time on the mountain, did you ever climb a mountain? It's hard. It's very difficult. Huh? And it seems like a barrier a lot of time when you see a mountain. When we're going through tough time, when you will feel overwhelmed, mountains overwhelming, you know, when you feel tired, and when you feel discouraged, this is how I take this passage. It is beautiful, okay? It is beautiful when that on the mountain, we proclaim the good news, proclaim. When we proclaim peace, when we proclaim good tidings, when we proclaim salvation, and when we proclaim our God reigns. Right? Church, let's proclaim this. Our God reigns. 1, 2, 3. Right? So my interpretation of this verse is that we as Christians are able to change the difficulties into something beautiful. Okay? As a Christian, we are able to change the difficulties that we're going through in our life, that this nation is going through, because we are concerned about this nation. We love this nation. We love the community. We, as a Christian, are able to change the difficulties into something beautiful when we proclaim God's truth. Okay? When we proclaim God's truth. See, we see this happen throughout Scripture, and I just picked a few of them, but I could come up with hundreds of examples in Scripture where they're proclaiming. Okay. Melchizedek in Genesis 14, Abram, just defeated four kings with a small army. And Melchizedek proclaims, what does he say? He says, "Blessed be Abraham by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. And praise be to God Most High, who deliver your enemies into your hands." We see Moses do this in Exodus, you know, in the book of Exodus 15. After the plague, they went through so many difficulties. There's plague, the parting of the Red Sea. They saw great miracles, but, you know, the Egyptians were putting them in slavery and trying to kill them. And Moses proclaimed, "Who among the gods is like you, Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders?" In the book of Acts, Apostle Paul, you know, he's in prison, and he's before King Agrippa and the high-ranking officials. And what does he do? He proclaims, "God has helped me to this very day," he proclaims. "So I stand here and testify. I stand here and proclaim to the small and the great alike, the Messiah who suffered and as the first to rise from the dead will bring the message of light to his own people and to the Gentiles." We, during this storm, as we face mountain, as a church, we need to proclaim. Say that to your neighbor, you know, that's far apart from you. We need to proclaim. Not because God forgot, or he needs to be reminded, or that God is hard of hearing. When you are going through a difficult time, there are lies that's hitting you when you go through a difficult time. There's lies all around you in the spiritual realm. Demons lie to you. The world lies to you. Others lie to you. Your thoughts lie to you. Your emotion lies to you. And your circumstance lies to you. And those lies, as you're facing the mountain, those lies will discourage you. The lies can become quite debilitating spiritually. So overwhelming that you don't know what to think, what to believe, and what to fight for. And because of the lies, you can give up trying. You can give up hoping. You can give up caring. And you can give up believing. You can give up fighting. So this is is very dangerous. This mountain is dangerous. The devil is not that creative. And as a church, we could discern those lies is because he is not that creative. He uses the same temptations over and over again. He uses the circumstances, the same similar circumstances, difficulty to lie to us over and over again. The same barrier, the same conflict. The devil will come to us with same lies, condemnation, shame, and guilt. Today, let's make up our mind not to listen to lies. Today, let's make up our mind as a church to proclaim. This is what God says when we face the mountain. What should we do? We need to proclaim. We need to proclaim God's truth. And the point I have, you know, on your phone or in your notebook, point number one, okay, I'm not projecting it. Right? Point number one, proclaim biblical truth. Right? We as Christians need to proclaim biblical truth. See, when you are going through a difficult time, what you know is what will make you overcome, what you know. If you don't know the right things, you're going to fall. We're going to get discouraged. We live in a fallen world. You know, and we're going to face tragedies, rejection, struggles, confusion, difficulties. All of us will face death. Nobody's exempt from that. How are you going to go through this and come out stronger? Your life has to be on the foundation of Scripture. You have to hold on to unchanging truth. When you face mountains, it's not positive thinking. I think it's better to think positively than negatively, of course. It's not through self-help book. It's not just positive words and positive proclamation. Those things are good. It's not bad, but it has no power. See, Hebrews, turn to Hebrews. Okay, get your phone out. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Okay, families online, turn to Hebrews 4, 12. Children, make sure your parents are doing that right now. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Let's read it together. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thought and attitude of the heart. What the Bible is saying about itself is that it has power. The Bible is alive. It is active. It penetrates to your soul and spirit. See, your life has to be on the foundation of Scripture. And the Bible says, then the house will remain standing in the midst of the storm. The Bible, you know, what it does is, as we love the Bible more, as we meditate upon it, as we have put our faith in the truth of the Scripture, the Bible has authority over our life, it goes deeper and deeper in our heart, and it starts to change us. Our emotion, our mind, even, you know, I believe our body, you know, our will, our character, the direction that we go in our life, in our purpose, in our relationship, in our life. It goes to our soul and spirit. And again, Matthew 7, Jesus tells the story of the wise and foolish builder. The foolish builder builds on sand, the house on sand. And he's like the guy who hears the word of God but doesn't do what it says. Okay? He doesn't really believe in the word of God. Okay? It's just about, you know, going through the motion. It's the ritual. But if you truly put the word of God as a foundation, you put your faith into the word of God and you believe what it says and you practice what it says. The wise man is the one who hears it, but not just hear it, but have faith in the truth in the word of God and goes out and make an honest attempt to apply God's word to his life. The wise man who builds their house on the rock, storm hits the house, and the house does not fall. It does not fall. It doesn't matter what storm we're going to face as a church. What? What storm? We love the word of God. We meditate on it and study it. If we do this, Catalyst, online, here, you do this every day, no matter what storm hit us, the house will remain standing. It's not a $1 million budget that's going to make this church stand. Huh? It's not becoming a mega church that's going to make this church stand. It's not a charismatic pastor, and I'm not a charismatic pastor, that's going to make this church stand. We have to love and apply the word of God in our life. I can't do that for you. I wish I could go to each one of your homes and sit down with you. Open the Bible. We're going to go through this for 30 minutes together, one-on-one. But I believe Catalyst, you know, you are spiritually mature. Let's speak that up into that. You are spiritually mature. Right? You're not drinking milk anymore, but solid food. You know, I have four daughters, you know, from elementary to college. Right? You know what I notice? Older they get, we don't have to cook for them. We don't have to cook for them. When they're young, you know, we gotta make it, and here, you, what do you like? And, very specifically, we make it for, you know, the little one. But as they get older, we don't have to cook for them. You are spiritually mature. Huh? You are spiritually mature. You know, during this storm, you and I will crumble if we don't have solid foundation. You have to build your life on the unchanging Word of God. You know, again, if you are interested in speed, you know, if you're you know all about sports cars or motorcycle. If golf, you know, you probably watch the tournament on TV. But if you are a Christian, then you want to know truth. You want to know God. You want to know the purpose for your life. You want to transform and change. You want to grow spiritually more mature. You want to serve and you want to love others. Then you have to get excited about the Bible. The Bible has direction and answer to every area of your life. To every area of your life. Bible must become a spiritual food for your spiritual strength. You're not doing well spiritually right now. I want to ask you, when was the last time you meditated on the Word of God? When was it the last time? Physically, we need to constantly eat every day to be healthy. What would happen to you physically if you do not eat for a whole week? If you do not eat for a month? And if you're not eating the scripture, the bread, if you're not eating, you don't have the spiritual habit, the discipline, the practice of regularly reading and meditating and studying the Word of God. The Bible describes itself with food illustration, water that cleanses you, milk for the new Christian, bread and meat. That's how the Bible describes itself. Are you eating spiritually? Huh? And if you're not, don't blame me. Okay? Don't get mad at me. If you're spiritually struggling, don't get mad at anybody else. Right? We need to meditate. You know, as a church, we're a hospital. As a church, we're a family. You know, as a church, we're the bride of Jesus. You know, all those relational. You know, but also the church is described as an army. You know, you wouldn't send a person into battle who hasn't eaten for a month. We need to feed ourselves to have the strength to accomplish the task that God has for us right now. You have to develop a daily habit of eating the Bible. Psalm 1 says, I meditate on the Word day and night. It doesn't say, you know, during summer, you know, just on the weekend. I meditate on the Word of God day and night. Church, don't starve your soul and spirit. Discern. Holy Spirit, help us to discern the hunger in our spirit. Don't feed your soul junk. Junk food of this world, of the flesh. Feed your spiritual hunger with the life-giving Word of God. And the church said. Point number two, you can write that down. Proclaim the Lord. Okay? Say that to your neighbor. Proclaim the Lord. You know, again, we have to navigate through storm, spiritual attack. There's conflict. There's offense that we carry. There's shaking. There's hardship. There's injustice. And it has become very easy to distract Christians from God nowadays. That's become easy. Because, you know, if somebody's nice to me and then, you know, God is here. Someone, you get offended. You know, somebody's mean to you, depressed. Someone remembers my birthday, God is here. You know, people forgot, God's gone. Where is God? You know, but the thing is, then the list will never stop. If you allow it, there will be more and more things that you get offended by. There are more and more things that will pull us away from God. Let's stop making it so easy for the devil during this time of storm. You know, Job, in the book of Job, in the tremendous suffering, he was facing storm after storm after storm. You know what he said? This is what he proclaimed. This is his proclamation. Though you slay me, yet I will hope in you. Though you slay me, yet will I hope in you. Let's proclaim that to the heavenlies as a church. Though he slays me, yet will I hope in you. Yeah. In the storm, he never denied God. Instead, he proclaimed God in the midst of the storm. In the midst of the storm. So start proclaiming the Lord. There's different areas of our life that we could proclaim the Lord. Proclaim the Lord in your work. You know, in your work, you might think, I'm doing this for the paycheck. I'm doing this to, you know, please my manager. I'm doing this to pay all the bill. No. Proclaim this. I am doing this for the Lord. All right? Proclaim this, church. Your work that you're doing. The work that God has called you for. All right? Proclaim. I'm doing this for the Lord. Okay? So no matter how meaningless or menial you feel your job is, if you proclaim the Lord in your work and you are doing this for him, the work becomes worship. It becomes worship. You are inviting the Lord to come into your work. You are asking God for help in your work. This is what Joseph did. He had the worst job he could have. He was a slave and he was a prisoner. But the Lord was so much part of his work that others saw God was with him. That God was with him. Students, proclaim the Lord in your school. It's not for grades, or even for future job opportunity. Proclaim the Lord in your school. It is to prepare you so that you know how to think right from wrong. So that I can glorify God. Students, it is to glorify God. Some of you are going to college. Proclaim the Lord as you're going to college. I'm going there to glorify God. So that God can use me more and more. It's too discouraging. You know, 4 years of your life spending hundreds of thousands of dollars. Hundreds of thousands of dollars. For what? Students say, I'm going to college to glorify the Lord, to be used by him, to fulfill his purpose and his destiny for my life. Proclaim the Lord in your family. You know, parents say, I'm parenting my children for the Lord. You know, in the Asian culture, it's really for the parents so that you make me look good. You know? You go to good college so that I can look good in front of my friends. That's a terrible reason to parent. I'm doing this for the Lord. It's not just trying to keep your children alive. Okay? I'm raising my child, not for the temporal, for the eternal. And when you do that, you are, as a parent, concerned about their spiritual life, their eternity. You're concerned about discipleship, their relationship with God. Dedicate your children, parents, to the Lord. Dedicate your marriage to the Lord. Proclaim, God is in my marriage. God is with my children. God is in my home. That the Lord will be the center of my family. You start proclaiming that. The Lord will be the center of my family. And then proclaim the Lord in our church relationship, instead of just seeing what others are not doing. You know, holding on to a mistake a church member made years ago. Proclaim, the Lord is in this community, this church, in this relationship. Proclaim, I am going to love others because of the Lord. And when we do that, huh, it's not just programs and activities that's going to get us together. It's not just playing online games that's going to make us love each other. It is something that we have to agree, we have to believe, and we have to walk out. And when we do that, the Lord will move in this church. There will be unity. We don't have to read a book about it. People will rise up. People will change and transform. And we will partner together to disciple nations. In ministry, proclaim the Lord. We have many people in Catalyst, especially before the pandemic. You know? We had like 80% serving in our church. 80% of the church. And ministry, I know this, and you know this, it is tiring. And there will be disappointment. Sometimes others don't see all you do. What should you do? Let's proclaim the Lord. Proclaim the Lord in the ministry. You know, this is just a small example, like preaching. When I do it just for people so that they will like me, they will notice me, they will applaud the preaching that I do, it becomes a job. And I get stressed and tired. But more, I preach for the Lord of an audience of one. I get inspired. I feel God helping me. And I see that God moves through me. But not just preaching. Any ministry that we're doing here. You could be on the soundboard. Huh? You could be welcoming people. You could be cleaning up. But proclaim the Lord in the ministry that we're doing. And then you'll see God move. And God will use. And God will be glorified. In the world, you know, the world tells you what is important. But we're not called to listen to the world. The world says the temporary things are important. What matters in life is your hair color and hairstyle, the car that you drive and the shoes that you wear. Let's, as a church, proclaim the eternal. Not things that won't matter tomorrow. We stress about things that's not going to matter tomorrow. When we focus on the temporary, we lose joy very easily. In the world, there are more and more things that drain us. Slow traffic drains me. Okay? The news really drains me right now. The economy, there's been a hurricane. That's pretty draining. Some of you didn't have lights Electricity for a whole week because of the hurricane. Politics is very draining. So as a church, we need to start proclaiming the eternal and reject the temporal. In this culture, our identity is, this culture, you know, says our identity needs to be in what we have, our possession. But as a Christian, you're not defined by your possession. Our identity is in Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ alone. Amen.